Gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the New Kind of Man podcast. And today I have the special treat of sitting down with Michael Bullock of the Man of Mastery podcast. And in this episode, we talk about how I overcame some hardships, some self-doubt, and a broken home to ultimately to a life of service. And so you're going to enjoy this conversation, and then a lot of this will be also placed into the show notes. This is only episode one. This will be a split episode. Conversation went long, and I didn't want to cut it all out. I wanted to give you all of it because it is incredibly valuable. So this is session one of our conversation, and then you'll get the next one after this. So enjoy it, gentlemen, and let's get into it. Welcome to the New Kind of Man podcast, where we are growing stronger and more capable men. We believe that every man can be a good man, and we are here to help men on their journey to become new men. These men will become better at leading themselves and better at leading in their homes and workplaces. Paul the Apostle gave the command to put on the new man. On this podcast, I interview people who've become new men relationally, physically, spiritually, or intellectually. This happens through their stories of stretching, grit, and determination. We want the good, the bad, and the ugly, so we all can become better men. So let's get after it. Well, today we have a special treat of welcoming Michael Bullock from the Man of Mastery. Thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, Chad, my pleasure.
So you are the host of the podcast, The Man of Mastery, and also the curator of themanofmastery.com. And give us a little bit of the backstory. Everybody has a backstory. Everybody loves the details. So what's the backstory of The Man of Mastery?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Chad. Thanks for the opportunity to share a bit of the story. And it's an honor to be part of the launch of your podcast, the New Man podcast, and excited to hear what's coming down the pike in your future.
Thanks.
You know, for me, a lot of this is crafted around, you know, if we have to put labels on things, I'm a father, I'm a husband, author, turned OCR Spartan race athlete, martial arts student of Krav Maga, and corporately, I've been a consultant for about 25 years, mm-hmm. and I'm also a personal performance coach. I've been a lifelong student in general, and I've specialized in peak performance for really over 20 years. So when I launched Man of Mastery, what I wanted to do is create a virtual community, and I've founded this to run as a way to bring together high-achieving men. Sort of mm-hmm. an exclusive peer group of guys who want to live in concert with their values, reject mediocrity, take action. Mm-hmm. The status quo is not good enough, right? So these are guys who are in continual pursuit of being better and better versions of themselves in whatever roles they may play, fathers, husbands. And the theme is we're willing to train and do hard things to be ready to serve, right? So all this is in service to families, friends, country, and ultimately the world. Mm-hmm. So one of the recurring themes I've got in doing this is growth through adversity. Mm-hmm. It's all about getting clear on your why and training and taking action. And again, doing it in service to your greater purpose. So what I'm doing each week, I air a podcast. It's meant to be your guide and resource to the best, most effective information available from top corporate executives, elite military teams, educational institutions, speakers, authors. So it crosses industry. It's a really interesting cross section of guests. And then around that, I've built a private Facebook community for guys looking to take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then I know we'll talk today, but some of the other things I've got coming out now, I'm launching coaching courses and even some private coaching.
Cool. Yeah. I love the backstory behind it, and I love the why behind your work. That oftentimes, when it comes to doing work with men, we can really just kind of be a cesspool of ourselves and just kind of continually work on ourselves and work on ourselves and work on ourselves. But there's no outlet. I believe that every man, it's like a river. It's so instead of a pond that has no outlet, that every man, as he develops as a man, there should be a natural outlet. And I believe the same thing that you said, Michael, that service is that outlet. I believe it's one of the reasons why we're made is to, for me, ultimately to serve God and serve others. So I can totally get behind that. And that sounds, it sounds very much like the description of my work too. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. So. That's why I was excited to get a chance to talk to you and also learn more about your endeavors.
Yeah.
But I agree, you know, I truly have come to believe everybody has some unique talent and some unique purpose. And the most fulfilling thing we can do is uncover what that is and work in ways that apply that in service to those around us.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, my work is centered around four different pillars. And what I say is in the work that I do around is about an intellectual growth, emotional growth, spiritual growth, and relational growth. So in these four areas, they become pillars of which allow a man to serve. And to sacrifice for others and do the things that a man should do. So these four pillars that I have my work centered around, again, it crosses streams as well. So some of your guests, and I've listened to some of your podcasts. As a matter of fact, it's been really helpful for me listening to your podcast. And I was going to tell you this, I've actually, it's something as simple as hydrating in the morning, as part of my morning routine, the ritual. Yeah. Is I always hydrated with coffee, cups of coffee. And that was like, but it's actually dehydrating me. And before I have any coffee, I literally would drink about 16 ounces of water out of an Nalgene. I always have it sitting in my study right next to my chair just to make sure that it's there and ready for me. So, and you kind of spurred that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. There's no greater compliment than, one, knowing that people are tuning in and more importantly, that it's all about being here to try to provide value. So when I hear stories about somebody, you know, taking away some mm-hmm. little nugget they were able to apply and that helped them out, man, I love to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean it from, just from my heart too, because even starting the day with gratitude, that's the other thing I was going to say is that seems to be a continual theme with your work as well. And just make sure that we're grateful and start the day off right. And whatever, whatever someone's morning ritual is, I think that creating space to sit in silence and just to be aware and breathe and just start the day just being thankful for breath itself, you know, that you have life, that you have a purpose, that you can go out and do the things that that you're supposed to do on that day. And yeah, these are the types of things that you have me thinking about. So I do appreciate your work.
No, I appreciate that, Chad. Thanks for saying it. And, you know, one other thing I'll say about the backstory is that I hope I never sound like, or I don't mean to come across as somebody who has it all figured out. Mm-hmm. In fact, I talk, another recurring theme I talk a lot about is success as a product of failure.
Yeah.
Success as a journey, not a destination mm-hmm. or point in time. And to be transparent, a lot of the things that I talk about on this show to try to help other guys with, it's because I was never very good at them. I mean, these are things that I'm learning pretty late in life and that I wish I had picked up on earlier. So I love to try to share them with others, try to share them with my son, and you know, try to share from maybe what I've learned in failure to apply a little differently in ways that can help us at whatever point in life we pick up on them.
Yeah, it's that growth through adversity. I mean, even in that, that's actually part of my story too. And that's ultimately the reason why I'm doing all of this. I've been working with men, I don't know, for several years now, 16, 18 years, kind of off and on, and, you know, coaching, mentoring, whatever you want to call it. I don't really get hung up on titles. I just say I work with men. But for me, my journey began, and really the new kind of man movement, I would say it is spurred from being raised in a broken home. My mother left. I was raised by my dad, and it was just my dad, my brother, and I for a little while, and then he remarried, and feeling like I was displaced and didn't have what it took to be a man. And it was through a lot of work and healing on my part that actually allowed me then to see the world for what it is and to be inspired to help other men. So that's that growth or adversity. It's interesting how adversity can bring itself around. And it's just a multitude of different ways that life will render adversity. And we have to choose to either grow by it or, you know, crumble from it.
Yeah, for sure. I've had a few guests on who have some amazing stories of hardship who talk about how the negative has equal and opposite positive reactions in our lives at some point, you know, if we're open to seeing it and we embrace it. But yeah, man, kudos on your story and taking your background and applying it to help others. And, you know, as far as the pillars, I know we'll get into some of this, at least for me, and I think for a lot of guys tuning in to some of the softer skills, the emotions, the transparency, the openness, is something that doesn't come naturally, that can be very harder to embrace or open up to. But I think the story you just told demonstrates the power of doing that and figuring out, again, we go back to service, right? How can it not only maybe make me better, but how does it serve others?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want us to kind of get rolling here into what I call the fast five, if we could. And I know that you're a fitness guy, so you're most likely very conscious of what you eat. But I know that every person has a little guilty pleasure food that they crave. What would be your guilty food pleasure?
Sure. Yeah, the fast five. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've talked about some of this. I do try to do a lot of paleo, keto. But yeah, hey, look, my mom's family is Italian. So I gotta say pasta is a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, man. Carbs for days.
For sure.
They're great until like an hour and a half later. and then the crash, right?
Yep.
So what song or artist is on your workout playlist?
Man, I've got such a crazy variety on there from I don't know, rap, hip hop, country, rock, blues, you name it. But I think if you pulled any playlist off my phone, there's sure to be some Guns N' Roses on there.
Oh, really? A little old school, huh?
Old school, taking it all the way back.
Sweet Child of Mine, Paradise City, back in those days?
All the way back to Appetite for Destruction.
Oh, man. Back to my youth, or not my youth, really my time, I think, in high school.
So, yep, I think that one dropped when I was in high school.
Nice. How old are you anyway?
I just turned 48, so I graduated high school in 89.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm 45. So right in the same time frame. Well, third question, what is your favorite dude movie? I mean, everybody has a dude movie that they like. Which one do you gravitate toward?
It's tough to pick one, but I think especially it's getting to be winter. I'm out here in California. We got a great dump of snow up in the mountains last week, and it's getting to be snowboarding season. So Hot Tub Time Machine, that one's on the annual dude movie playlist.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
The first one. The second one is atrocious.
Appreciate the heads up on that. Oh, that's cool. So if you could apprentice under anyone, who would it be?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I know you threw me a few of these questions. I was thinking about this one, and I was originally thinking about some of those softer skills, you know, and somebody that maybe I could learn from in that sense. And that's probably what I ought to do. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, a book and an author, and since we're kind of talking about men here, popped on my radar a day or two ago. And I got to say, like, a guy that would be so cool to hang out with would be Ernest Hemingway.
Man.
That is a man's man, right? let's go smoke some cigars, have some whiskey, hang out in Cuba, go to bullfights.
I mean,
that'd be a cool dude to work for a little bit.
Be an interesting ride, that's for sure.
For sure.
So here's really I think probably the most tension-filled question for a lot of people. It's a lot of people when they're about to order pizza anyway. Should pineapple be on pizza or not?
that is a stressful question. You know, at one point I would have said, no way. But look, although we're talking about men and manhood and being of service as you know, men and fathers, and in that role, yeah, I said it on my very first podcast that one of my greatest teachers has been my wife. Mm-hmm. And my wife loves a good Hawaiian pizza. So I have, you know, she's helped me grow in a lot of ways. And I will say she has opened my mind to pizza with pineapple, but you got to balance it out with something savory, right? So throw some salty mushrooms or jalapenos or something on there to balance out the sweetness. So I'll say yes.
There you go. All right. It should be on pizza. You heard it, people. You heard it. Michael from the Man of Mastery said that pineapple should be on pizza. So
it's
just
all good.
Yep. Exactly. Hawaiian pizza. Just tear it up.
Tear it up.
All right. So let's get into some questions that will spur men to become stronger if we can. And I was wondering this question, what does it mean to become a man of mastery?
Yeah, good one. You know, somebody asked me that recently, and I would say, you know, the first thing is let's not take it too seriously or mm-hmm. take ourselves too seriously. I mean, I did come up with the name as a little bit of a tongue in cheek, but I would say what it really is about is we go back to, for me, that it's not about success as a destination or final point in time. It's usually all about the journey. Mm-hmm. And I got inspired by a book on mastery, which talks about, it's really about the two steps forward, one step back, and the plateaus and the focus on all the little things. So I'm a big believer in the little things compounding into big results in life. So when mm-hmm. I created this thing, this idea of being a man of mastery, I mean, we're all men of mastery, right? Whether we're idling right now and need a little bit of a wake up call, you know, or we're meandering and we need some guidance, mm-hmm. we're all starting wherever we are. And just starting to take action is, mm-hmm. is the most important thing. So, you know, I don't purport to be some guru sitting on a mountaintop kind of going like, hey, you know, come on up. I've figured it all out. You know, maybe I'm a step ahead or a day ahead or a month ahead of you on the path, but we're all on the same path. And so I look at this as a way that, you know, with what you're doing, with your mission, what I'm doing can bring guys together, and we can all share with each other and learn from each other as we develop as men, as humans, again, as fathers, sons, husbands, in service to, again, that sort of greater purpose and what our unique value is to the world.
Yeah, that's gold. Yeah, I wrestled with this, actually. I believe that I've been connected with you through Instagram probably since I began A New Kind of Man on Instagram. And I was challenged with a man of mastery. And I've been wrestling with it. And I've come to terms with it, but I've just going back, and because I think people can get into extremes where, no, it's just mastery, where I become the master of this thing. And then I think the logical conclusion that people draw is, well, I'm the master, I can relax now. So I've mastered it.
Right.
So I've, you know, now I'm the wise sage who never has to work on this again. And now I can sit in the ivory tower, so to speak, and everybody can come and sit at my feet or whatever. And I love how you explain that, because that's not it at all.
No, not at all. And so I share a little anecdote. If you haven't heard this particular episode that I recorded probably back in September with a guy named Greg Amundsen, who's a CrossFitter, and he's done a bunch of amazing stuff career-wise, and now he is in the seminary. Mm-hmm. So I'd seen him speak, and I asked him to recount this story. He says it's a true story about a martial arts master who is getting on late in life, and he gathers together all these top, you know, black belts and instructors from all over the world, and it's going to be like his last teaching session of his career and his life. And so they're expecting him to impart some wisdom, right? Like, if anybody is a master, it is this guy.
Right.
He gets up in front of the group, and he starts practicing this movement, which apparently is this blocking movement or something that you learn in like day one of his art. And he's doing it, and he's doing it, and he's watching himself doing it. And he says, I think I'm finally starting to get it. Right. So here's a guy who after a lifetime of pursuing this art and is seen as the top in the world by far, on maybe the last day of his career, looks back on the first day of his career and is still working on it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Wow. Yeah, that's humbling too. You know, if a man listening and you think, oh, I've got it together and I've mastered this thing. And I mean, if somebody gets in that posture, of course, then, you know, it begins to become ego speak and it's pride and all of the things that are really corrosive to themselves and their relationships. And then there again, you won't be able to serve them well because you're so busy trying to serve yourself. As what pride does is kind of, it creates that inward loop. But what I love about that is there's no room for pride. It says, no, I'm just now starting to get it, when everybody else thought, it's like, no, you got this a long time ago. You're the master.
You're right. So
it's humbling.
Yeah, it's super humbling. And I think, you know, maybe part of the challenge in this is the analogy, or maybe our Western way of thinking, which is very linear. Mm-hmm. Is it a path with a start and an end? Mm-hmm. But this, I think the whole journey is very much cyclical and evolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always kind of come back to the start and do it again and get better the second time, the third time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So I struggle with perfectionism. I just do. I struggle with it in many areas of my life. I've been stalled out in many areas of my life because I couldn't make it perfect and I didn't want to, you know, just kind of put something out there that I knew that could be better. So I would always hide and say, well, it's just, you know, it's just not good enough, for excellence in everything, which is a core value of mine. But yet what I really was saying is it needs to be perfect. And so how does mastery differ from perfection?
That's a great question. Well, you know, I'll quote one friend who said that 80% is perfection. So I think that puts it in some perspective.
Yeah.
But maybe the way I think about it, and I have the same tendency. Look, I one of my degrees is in engineering. So and another is in economics. So these are things we think to be sciences and we think to be exact. So I totally get, by my nature, the desire to aim for perfection. And, I think you probably do it. And I think I probably do it in, not as an ego thing, but again, in service to, I want this to be the best quality product that I can put out.
Absolutely. But
I think one thing maybe I would hit on, and I go back to kind of my premise, is just start wherever you are and find ways to take action, even in the simplest little things. So for me, this concept of a mastery journey is about taking steps. It's about taking action. Whereas I think the pursuit of perfection, or the idea of perfection, can be so overwhelming that it tends to be paralyzing and is kind of the opposite of action.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely say that. I mean, that's been part of my story, is analysis paralysis is what I call it.
Yep, exactly.
It's just looking at it and from, you know, I look at it from, you know, 350 degrees, but yet I still have 20 more, and then it'll be perfect, you know, instead of just saying, no, this is the best thing, and just go from the gut and do what I know I need to do. So what's been one of the hardest things for you to master? Like in your journey as a man, what have been some great challenges that you've had a difficulty in mastering or seek mastery?
All of it. I got a long way to go, man. Ask me again in 5 years or 10 years. Yeah, like the rest of us. And I often say, you know, I feel like I'm just a student, and I like to learn and share what I learn with others. Mm-hmm. But you know, I have some ideas of pillars as well in the material I've laid out, and we may talk a little bit about this. But I'm going through a coaching certification right now with somebody who kind of brought me to some of these concepts, and they break it down a little differently than you do, but they do talk about the emotional genre, the intuitional genre. And I think for me as a guy, I go back to being steeped in kind of the sciences. I've always been very fact-based, very, you know, in my head, and not as in tune to some of the, you know, the heart-based emotions or listening to my gut. You know, I've made some bad, probably life and business decisions about ignoring gut feeling. So, I'll give you a little bit more of what I'm alluding to with the coach and training. And this kind of goes to some of the backstory as well. And it also embraces this principle of being transparent about failure and about weakness. So on my website, I talk about some of my personal challenges with some crippling back injuries and surgery that I had and trying to come back from all that physically. But physically, the physical area is something that I think a lot of guys have a comfort level. I won't say it's easy, but have a comfort level in focusing on. You know, you go like, okay, I want to make some changes in my life. I'm going to get back to the gym, or I'm going to get out and run, or I'm going to go hike or whatever, right? Physical kind of comes naturally. Well, to share a story, I'm not sure I've shared very frequently. One of the other things that led me down this path, and that, you know, it's kind of the universe works in weird ways sometimes. You don't really know how these things conspire or worlds collide. About four years ago, so I also talk a lot about stuff I've been doing in Spartan racing, which is a great metaphor for a lot of these things. I did my first Spartan race. Some friends talked me into it. It was out here inland, a little north of San Diego. It's a very dry, dusty sort of area. So you're out there just, you know, running around for me for a couple hours, sucking this, you know, dust into your sinuses, your nose, your lungs. And the next day or the day after, I had to jump on a flight for work and fly across country. And it turned out it was going to be, I don't know, like a 3-hour flight in a little regional jet. I had no idea it was a regional jet. I'm like 6'5". I don't do well on this tiny little seat on a tiny little plane, right? And I sat down. I've flown those planes a million times, but I sat down that particular day, the way I was feeling after that race with my sinuses, lungs, everything, the way they were feeling, I sat and I felt like I couldn't breathe. And I had, you know, I don't know what the clinical term is, an anxiety attack. I don't know what, but I was like, I was that guy, like where I stood up and I was like, guys, open the door. I'm getting off this plane. And I'm
getting off this plane.
And I went looking for, you know, I felt weak. I felt broken. I felt like something was wrong with me. Like, what just happened? And by the way, like if I have to travel for my livelihood, how's this going to go down?
Yeah.
And I think I just started Googling for, I don't know what, you know, mental toughness or something. And I found this guy here in San Diego who is a retired Naval SEAL commander, Mark Devine. Yep. And he has this book called Unbeatable Mind that I picked up. And it talks about, you call them pillars, I call them pillars. He calls them mountains, the five mountains. And what he calls the emotional mountain and the intuitional mountain. Those have been things that have taken me a lot of time to work on. And believe me, I think I'm just starting that journey towards understanding and better embracing and controlling my emotions, getting better in tune to my intuition, how to apply that in my life. So that was a long answer, but intuition and emotional control.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually recently, I've never read The Unbeatable Mind, but I read The Way of the SEAL and finished it, I don't know, a couple months ago. Really good book. I did see a lot of you know, like crossovers from his work to mine. Mine is you know, it is a Christian way of looking at it, where his becomes not Christian, but spiritual in some ways. But yet I've adapted some of the same things that he's talked about. So I definitely see some value in his work and the perspective. I love the visualization part of things. And I believe you've talked about this on your podcast too. Just visualizing the goal instead of getting caught up in what you're doing and pursuing that. So yeah, he's had several different things that have been helpful for me. So I do appreciate that. I'm sure we'll probably get into maybe some more of that too, because I know that's a big part of where you're going through your coaching and stuff. So I'm interested to jump into some of that. So, you know, mindset has become a very popular word these days. It seems like everybody's hashtag mindset, hashtag, you know, whatever, just different things around mindset. So, but there is value in it. So I don't want to displace it just because it's popular, but what kind of mindset does a man need to reach mastery?
Yeah, I'll pull out my kind of my tagline again of mm-hmm. having a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not being willing to abide by staying in one place, being idle, yeah. being complacent. And I mentioned a couple minutes ago Spartan racing and how impactful it's been in my life. And with my son, and not just because we share a sport, the guy who founded it, Joe DeSena, wrote a book, and I think the philosophies in his book and what he's tried to do in creating an athletic event are very similar to an author I like a lot, Ryan Holiday, who mm-hmm. has a book called The Obstacle is the Way. Mm-hmm. And so these obstacles become a bit of a metaphor for life. So I'll give you a quick example on this. And this kind of talks about this sort of mindset of being willing to not only expect obstacles, but embrace them, because
right.
ultimately they make us better, you know, being willing to attack them and find out what you learn from it, whether you get over it, you know, bounce off of it, go around it, whatever it is. So recently I had a buddy go, "Hey, I'll do one of these races with you." In fact, I was going to do two of them back to back, Saturday and Sunday, about 13 miles each. And this guy had never run more than 10 kilometers, 6 miles at a time mm-hmm. in his life. And so he came out here thinking, like, you know, I got this, and, you know, I'm going to blow this thing away. And we, you know, we finished both of them, but we ended mm-hmm. up doing them very slowly. He ended up getting some issues with like an IT band or a knee or something that were mm. probably just accumulation of some distance and some stuff that he hadn't built up to and trained for. But the interesting thing was not the physicality of it, but the emotional stuff he was going through during it. So he was kind of looking around, and he started getting really hard on himself. Like, I ought to be better at this, or I should be killing this, or, you know, I'm only going to do these, you know, hardcore from now on, or even like starting to compare himself to other people. You know, how is that guy or girl doing this? And I can't. Instead of, and I think it took him a few days, and he finally kind of sunk into, you know, it's not about anybody else. You know, it's about what I got out of it and what, you know, what level I was at and what that means for, you know, my journey or my, you know, what I want to work on. So, you know, when we talk about mindset and particularly a growth mindset, I guess I'll say two things. So one is, I would say, don't compare yourself mm-hmm. too drastically to other people.
So
you spend time on social media or whatever it is, you know, it's really just gonna, it's potentially paralyze you. Go back to the analysis paralysis. I would say, you know, when you set goals, when you look at objectives, when you look at progress, you really got to compare yourself only to yourself.
Yes.
And I guess the other thing I would say about mindset, and I'll go back to my own education here and, you know, things that maybe I'm learning that I wish I'd known earlier is I talked a little bit recently on a podcast about metacognition, about thinking about thinking.
Yes.
You know, and starting to become aware, maybe through some of those things we'll talk about, like time and silence and morning routine, starting to be aware of what thoughts are cranking through your crazy brain.
Mm-hmm.
And from a mindset perspective, starting to have some objective view of how you're thinking and how your thinking affects everything around you, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your physiology. So that's another element of mindset as well.
Yeah, that is something else that I wanted to talk about. The thinking about your thinking, that is, man, that has been something for me. I'm back into running and trying to build up more mileage. I broke my foot, I don't know, it's probably been 4 months ago. So I've been cleared by the doctor, but now I'm just trying to get back and slowly kind of build the miles up. but it's difficult. You know, they're just paying attention to what I'm thinking, even in the middle of a run, in a distance that may not even be that, I mean, it's not even that long. It's only a couple of miles, but yet it's just that, you know, that not, it's just the time of not running. And now I'm trying to run again. And then, you know, your mind is like, oh, well, your knee hurts, just slow down. Or why don't you just walk? Or you're tired. It's okay. You're tired. You haven't been. And it's like, you have all these things that just become so corrosive for your mind. And now I'm trying to be aware of this thinking. And I did this just the other day to where I was like, yeah, my knee hurts, but it's not going to hurt. It's going to feel really good when I hit the finish line. When I finish this run, I'm going to feel really good about overcoming this moment right here. And so it's just kind of capturing those thoughts and then surrendering those thoughts to something positive. And that is a big part of the growth mindset too.
Yeah, I believe it sure is. That's awesome. Sorry to hear about the foot, but that is, that's great the way you attack that.
Yeah, I try to. And if I could only apply that in every aspect of my life, that'd be fantastic.
Right.
I went with the low hanging fruit, so we're not going to talk about the ones that I'm not excelling in, right?
We'll leave that for episode two.
Yeah, yeah. We just don't have enough time today, guys. So we'll get to that eventually. So, you know, I know you talk about your morning routine or your ritual, and I know that Mark Divine he talks about that at length as well. And again, I've adapted some of those things, and I'm trying to incorporate those into my life. So. And I know that the guys listening would want the same thing. So what types of things have you added into your morning and evening ritual and why?
Sure. I mean, let's start with the morning because that is sort of the start of the day. I mean, you mentioned hydration. Mm-hmm. I've got water sitting by the bed. So I try to crank down a good bit of that as soon as I get up. We sleep, we breathe, and we're expelling vapor. So we really do wake up somewhat dehydrated. You can see it if you jump on your scale at night and then in the morning. So that's a great way to start. A lot of us want to just, we got such a busy day plan. So we want to just get after it and jump, right out of bed, jump right to the phone to see what's going on, to the kids. So whatever you build into it. And I think you mentioned a few of the things that I've built in around breathing, around journaling, around gratitude. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to try to get those all in some form. So ideally, I would say you get up early enough that you can leave yourself some time for those things, maybe also some movement. So for myself, with the back issues I've had in the past and just getting, yes, how old I am, I usually just say damn near 50. I like to do
it. Covers it.
Yeah, exactly. I've got like a little bit of a yoga routine that I go through to just try to get like the blood flowing. And it's amazing how much different I feel if I do take the time to, not turn on the cell phone, not like turn on the Wi-Fi on the phone, just keep it set aside, spend a few minutes of a breathing exercise, spend some time, as you mentioned, just being grateful. What am I grateful for today? Mm-hmm. And what I try to ask myself, what's the one thing, or might be one or two things, that I absolutely need to do today that move the ball on my, my greater purpose, my greater mission. There's a million tactical things we need to do. There's a million people wanting our time for something. But what's one thing I can do today that even by a little bit, moves me forward to the bigger picture? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to start the day with that. For me, it can collapse or it can expand. So this could be, if I have a lot of time, this could be anywhere from half an hour to an hour and a half. But right. if it's ultra compressed, I'll do, the breathing might happen, in the shower or sitting in the bathroom. Right. Mm-hmm. And the movement might be sort of, a minute or two instead of 20 or 25 minutes.
Right.
But just something consistently to try to get my head right going into the day. And there are days where I miss it. I skip it. Mm-hmm. But being aware of it now, I realize like how big of a difference it makes. And then just the couple of things I would add to that is, whether you get it done or not, you still use those same tools during the day.
Yes.
So, you know, if we talk more about things like a calming breathing exercise, and that being, you know, your guidepost in the storm type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're getting pissed off in traffic, or, you know, you get upset with somebody at work, or, you know, you're just stressed out going into a phone call, or you're anxious about something, you can go back to those things during the day, or, you know, knock out a couple push-ups or something, you know, just bring either the body or the mind back to those places intraday. Mm-hmm. is a super powerful practice. And then the evening routine is really just kind of the bookend to quiet the mind before you go to bed. So I think a lot of people have that experience of either having trouble falling asleep, or you fall asleep but you don't feel like you are. You know, your mind is racing about the things
yes.
you do, or you wake up thinking about those things. So if you do spend some time, you know, where you've gotten off the TV screen, the you know, phone screens or whatever, and give your body a chance to wind down, maybe read, maybe journal, do maybe some gratitude practice at night. Ideally, if you can do those things and you can write down a bit of what your plan is for tomorrow, I feel like getting that on paper allows my mind to let go of it and just let me, you know, just let me relax for the night. But at a minimum, what I'll say is, so I'm personally a lot better at the morning routine than I am at the evening routine. But the one thing that I try to keep in mind about my evening routine is that it sets up my morning routine. So even if I just get to bed on time, then I'm teed up to get up early and attack tomorrow morning. Whereas, you know, if I fall into the Netflix couch lock trap and I'm up till midnight watching some crap series, then it has nothing to do with the routine. I just, you know, I failed on the bedtime and my morning routine is going
to
suffer.
You had to finish that season, man. I totally understand.
Every time. It's probably the second time I watched it.
Yeah. I was actually going to talk to you about the midday thing as well. I found it very helpful. Even if, you know that you're going to have, whether it's a meeting or whether it's, you're going to walk into something that you know that could be full of energy, or you're maybe just a little bit of, it's a difficult conversation, or just a sensing and feeling some anxiety, it's good to just leave yourself enough margin before you go into the space to sit and to breathe, fill your body with oxygen. It's gonna wake up to the rest of you. You can calm your emotions. The anxiety has a way of going away. You know, for me, I'll sit and I'll breathe, and then the breathing actually allows me just the ability to open up in prayer is what it does for me, rather than just shotgunning it. And so just slowing all of my mind and my body. And I can literally, you know, when you do it, and you know this because you're more experienced at it than I am, but you can literally feel your body release that tension because your breathing's under control, and just your body will naturally release that. And with me, I usually hold all that tension up like in my chest area. So that's when I can feel it release. So it's really helpful.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think I carry a lot in my back. Maybe that's where my back issues come from. I think a lot of guys probably do. Mm-hmm. But it's a real thing. I don't know if I believed it before, but I'm a believer now. It really can have not only a calming, you know, mental effect, but it's got a physical release as well. And and just since you mentioned it on the, you know, on the spiritual side of things, we're talking about morning, evening rituals. You know, I talk about things like gratitude. Mm-hmm. For me, it might be forming some certain questions around gratitude, maybe even journaling it. But, you know, for other people, that same practice is embodied in prayer. I was talking to Patrick Antonucci about that in his podcast. So, you know, it takes different shapes. But I think the point is to kind of get your head right at the start and the end of each day. And it makes for a pretty powerful practice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, my morning ritual, I'll get up and pretty disciplined with this, but I'll get up and just kind of sit in my study, sometimes with the light on, sometimes with the light off, and just sit for who knows, I mean, minutes, and just again, grateful for the day, kind of, you know, waking me up to everything, and then I'll settle in, which I spend time in that. I really don't get any movements in. I don't stretch or do those things. I probably ought to add that into my routine, but then I make a transition to sit in my chair, and that's where my water is. So I'll, you know, just kind of slow-mo the whole thing, drink some water. Coffee's already made. So that's one of my incentives to get up is I can smell the coffee going through, you know, brewing. So it smells through the house, just as a little internal motivator for me.
Yeah.
And so I can go in and I can get some coffee and just kind of sit in my chair, drink my water, you know, do that, maybe spend some more time in prayer, you know, go through a devotion or something, maybe on an app or you know, something in the Bible itself, and just kind of take that time and then roll into everything else I'm going to do throughout the day. And then my evening ritual, I don't really have one. There are times where I will do some form of the Ignatian prayer, which I'm not going to go into the details of that, but sometimes I'll do that in the evening, or my wife and I will pray. But I'll read. I do a lot of I read under a red light all the way up till the time I go to bed. I typically do that about every night. I get about 30 minutes to an hour's worth of reading in, you know, after everybody goes to bed, and I'm sitting there, and that's good for me. I can unwind, and it doesn't seem to keep me awake either. So I've held that as part of my ritual for years now.
That's an awesome way to unwind. Let me ask. So it sounds like you, not to diminish that evening routine by any means, we all probably need to read more, and that's a great time to do it to wind down. But if you get interrupted or something happens with your morning routine, do you notice a difference in your day?
You know, I would say right now in this season, it doesn't, because, you know, much of, I don't know who the quote is from, but, and this is a loose quote, but it says, who a man really is how he reacts to interruptions. So who a man is, is how he reacts to interruptions. So for me, I'm trying to be conscious. You know, I've got my daughter who is 16, still lives in the house. My wife is here. They live here. You know, this isn't just my space. So if it's interrupted, I'm not always the cheeriest person, but my day I do have some allowances for those types of things, and realizing that I'm not the only one here. So it's my routine, but everybody else has a routine too. So sometimes my routine has to revolve around what the family routine is.
Nice. That's great perspective and a great reminder.
Thanks for listening to the New Kind of Man podcast. You've been given some good manly encouragement, and now it's your turn. If you found today's content helpful, go tell a friend and please leave us a review. Also, consider hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Now it's time for all of us to do what Theodore Roosevelt said. Create. Act. Get action. Do things. Be sane. Don't fritter away your time. Take a place wherever you are and be somebody. Get action.